Proverbs chapter 1, and I'll read this morning from the NIV. This is God's Word. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, for doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. For understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They will be a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not give in to them. If they say, come along with us, let us lie in wait for someone's blood. Let's waylay some harmless soul. Let's swallow them alive like the grave and whole like those who go down to the pit. We will get all sorts of valuable things and fill our houses with plunder. Throw in your lot with us. We will share a common purse. My son, do not go along with them. Do not set foot on their paths, for their feet rush into sin. They are swift to shed blood. How useless to spread a net in full view of all the birds. These men lie in wait for their own blood. They waylay only themselves. Such is the end of all who go after ill-gotten gain. It takes away the lives of those who get it. Wisdom calls aloud in the street. She raises her voice in the public squares. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. In the gateways of the city, she makes her speech. How long will you simple ones love your simple ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge? If you had responded to my rebuke, I would have poured out my heart to you and made my thoughts known to you. But since you rejected me when I called, and no one gave heed when I stretched out my hand, since you ignored all my advice and would not accept my rebuke, I in turn will laugh at your disaster. I will mock when calamity overtakes you. When calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster sweeps over you like a whirlwind, when distress and trouble overwhelm you, then they will call to me, but I will not answer. They will look for me, but will not find me. Since they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord, since they would not accept my advice and spurned my rebuke, they will eat the fruit of their ways and be filled with the fruit of their schemes. For the waywardness of the simple will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. May God add His blessing to this reading from His holy and inspired Word. Who's writing this? Solomon. Was Solomon a wise person or not so much? He was a wise person. Was he wise or very wise? He was very wise. Thank you all. Y'all are with me here. It's good. He is extremely wise. God came to Solomon and He said, Solomon, ask me for anything you want. And Solomon had the wisdom to ask God for wisdom. And God said, Solomon, because you asked me for wisdom, I'm going to give you what you asked for. I'm going to give you wisdom. But I'm not only going to give you wisdom, I'm going to bless your house and your lands. I'm going to give you wives. I'm going to give you wealth. I'm going to give you influence. I'm going to give you all the other things that you didn't ask for. And so Solomon was the wisest man on earth in his day. No one had been as wise as Solomon before him, and it might be true that no one's been as wise since. He may be the wisest man who's ever lived apart from Jesus. But nevertheless, Solomon, unfortunately, as we know the whole story, though he was given wisdom, didn't live in light of all the wisdom he was given. He was much better at telling other people what to do than he was in choosing the right thing to do himself. And so the problem that we have is that Solomon amassed a whole lot of wisdom, but he didn't live in light of it. And the result was destruction for his family, his children, those who came after him. And Solomon himself even suffered for his own choices. So if there's one thing we want to learn about wisdom, it's that it's not enough just to collect some knowledge about life. We need to live in light of that knowledge that we collect. If you gain a lot of wisdom about how to live and then you don't choose to live according to it, it won't help. So we want to live in light of that wisdom. And Solomon is encouraging his son, and he's wanting to press on him the importance of some things that he's saying, son, this is the most important stuff. These are things you really need to know. Solomon cares very deeply about his son walking in the light and walking in the truth and not repeating some of the same mistakes he has. And so he's pressing on him the importance of wisdom. And he opens the book with these first few verses, 1-7, an exhortation to wisdom. He says, these proverbs are for attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life. Now, let me ask a question, you guys who are athletes. How many of you like to win? Anybody? Any of you athletes like to win? Yeah, everybody. You love it. We want to win. Okay. Recently, there was a once every 4 years contest called the Olympics. The best athletes in the world gathered to compete. And sometimes the difference between winning and losing, not even placing, was measured in tenths or hundredths of a second. Can you imagine? You remember, I believe at one point during those games, Michael Phelps was favored to win a race, and he came in fourth. Isn't that terrible? Can you imagine? He came in fourth, he didn't even place. Discipline is learning to do, doing today what I can do so that tomorrow I'll be able to do what I can't do today. That makes sense. It's practicing what we can do so that we become better and better and better. And what we find, if you are like most people, you want to win, but you don't want discipline. That's just the human condition. We'd all like to stand on the podium and receive the medal and get the wreath and hear our national anthem. But who wants to get up at 5 a.m. every day for 4 years and swim and swim and swim and then eat a little bit and then swim and swim and swim some more and eat a little bit and swim and swim and swim some more and be disciplined? Those folks are there because they're disciplined. Most of us want to win, but we don't want to be disciplined. Solomon is encouraging his son toward a disciplined and prudent life. And a disciplined, prudent life results in some wonderful things that we can't have any other way. For giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. My father once told me when I was a young man, he said, son, and you know, of course, something wise is going to follow when he says this, son, and he pauses and he looks at me and says, you don't usually find youth and experience in the same place. I thought, it's generally true. You trade one to get the other. If you're a young person, you haven't lived a long time. You haven't lived as long as those older people. But you find as you get older, you get aches and pains and things you didn't used to have. So there were things you used to be able to do when you didn't know enough to do them. And now you know enough to do them and you can't pull it off. So, some of y'all are smiling. You must be young. Yeah, you know, those who are older, not so much. All right. He says, I'm going to give you some wisdom that will help you. What if you could advance multiple years in wisdom? What if you could learn from the mistakes of other people instead of doing them yourself? Would that be good? That'd be a good idea? That's what he's saying. For giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young, let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. So, how many of you, I don't want to show of hands, but how many of you have learned everything there is to know? Anybody? Some of us think that. Have you ever thought that? Have you ever felt like, I've really just kind of learned all I want to, I'm ready to stop? Sometimes you think that on day two of school. Day one, it's really fun, this is exciting. Day two, it's like, well, I've learned all I want, I'm ready to turn it off. I hope you don't have that attitude. Listen to what Solomon says. He says, let the wise listen and add to their learning. Let the discerning get guidance. In other words, even those who are wise can learn more. Let the discerning add more. And then he talks about the key for us, the key, a very key element in all of wisdom and knowledge. He says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. You all say that with me? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and discipline. Say it one more time. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. So he starts off by saying the fear of the Lord is the end of knowledge. Is that what we do? We study and study and study, and at the end of all our knowledge, we'll learn to fear the Lord. That's not what he says, is it? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. That's where it starts. God created everything there is. God is sovereign over everything there is. God is working out all of history for his own ends. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. If you study the history of scientific inquiry, what you'll find is that Christianity sparked more advances in science than any other world religion and more than all the others combined. Because it brings with it a basic premise. And the premise is this. God created the earth and he created it orderly. And if I study it, I should find order. I should find things working the way a God would have designed. And so as we look at science and knowledge, we should assume that God created things a good way. And as we study those things, we find out more. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. If you despise wisdom and discipline, what does the Scripture say you are? It's foolish. It's really foolish not to like that. How many of you like to be corrected? Anybody? Got up this morning thinking, you know, I'm going to get some breakfast, and now I'm going to get two or three rebukes in. And then I'm going to, you know, we're just going to kind of take a course correction. No, most of us don't just get up in the morning thinking, along with our eggs and bacon, we'd like for someone to tell us we're wrong. Listen, if Solomon's little boy was born that way, he wouldn't have had to tell him. He's telling him, fools despise wisdom and discipline. He's saying, son, if someone rebukes you, listen. If they correct you, learn from that. It's really good for you. So just catch yourself if you're thinking, boy, I don't like to be corrected. I don't like discipline. Scripture says fools don't despise wisdom and discipline. So he goes on now. He's going to open it up and he does a little he starts giving his son a little object lesson. He says, if you'll listen to our instruction, listen to this teaching, it'll be like a garland to grace your neck and a chain, or grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. A garland is that little leafy thing that people used to get when they won the Olympics. Now they get gold medals, and which is, you know, that's great. But before, they used to put leaves on their heads. I don't understand that, but that's what they did. Maybe gold was scarce. Anyway, he says, listen to your father's instruction, your mother's teaching. There'll be a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. He says, my son, if sinners entice you, do not give in to them. What does it mean to entice? If something's enticing, what is it? It's tempting. Thank you. Looks good. I'd like some of that. Looks like chocolate. I'd like some of that. Now that we're on this low-carb diet, I'd really like some of that. It's enticing. If sinners entice you and they say, come along with us, let us lie in wait for someone's blood. Let's waylay some harmless soul. Let's swallow them alive like the grave and whole like those who go down to the pit. Does that sound like a good thing to do? No. I mean, we're sitting here in the cold light of day and we can just say, obviously, that sounds like a bad idea. But suppose you're kind of down on your luck and you'd like to have a few more nickels to rub together. And I came to you and said, Deshaun, I'm whispering because people aren't supposed to hear what I'm saying. You see Walter? Walter came back from break with some new Nikes. You seen those Nikes? They're great. Do you know that some of the new LeBron James Nikes are selling for $300 and more? Now, I don't know if that's what those are, but he's got some new Nikes on his feet. You and I can take him. So after devotions, when Walter's walking behind the dining hall, I'm going to distract him. You hop out and give him the business. All right. And when you're done, we're going to take those shoes off, go down here to the Wears Valley Antique Mall, because that's It's a hot market for shoes. Not really. And we're going to sell them down there, and you and I will split the money. What do you say? Sound like a good plan? Yeah, he's saying, well, I'd like some money. I don't know. I'm kind of broke. Okay, let's just have a news flash for a minute, okay? What did I just ask you to do? I asked you to pound Walter into the dirt, and then we're going to sell his shoes. I'm going to sell his shoes. You're going to beat him up. I'm going to sell his shoes, okay? And Deshaun, then we're going to split the money. What did I just ask you to do? I asked you to trust me, okay? Now, think for a minute. If someone's inviting you to go beat the crud out of someone or kill them, is that a trustworthy person? No. No way. And yet, let me tell you, that happens day after day after day after day. Now, we don't allow that at the ranch, by the way. If I were to say that to you, what would you say, Deshaun? You'd say, no, sir. And then the next thing you do is you go tell Mr. Andrew, Mr. Brian's lost it, and he's got a problem. You should probably say it respectfully, but the bottom line is, if I ever asked you to do that and I was serious, we'd have a serious problem, and the right thing to do is go tell a responsible adult. But let me tell you, this happens all the time. It's going all the time in large cities everywhere, where thugs come along and say, hey, trust me, we're going to split the proceeds. And the first thing I ought to think about is the fact that the person who's talking to you is not trustworthy. The second thing that you should think about, and maybe even first, is what it said earlier, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. A person who fears God needs to think about the consequences of their actions. Because what if you know, several things can happen here. One is you may not succeed. You may find out that Walter, even though he's smaller than you are, has a second or third degree black belt in jiu-jitsu. And you think you're going to take Walter, and all of a sudden you find out, ooh, that wouldn't have been such a good idea. There was a thin fellow who worked for the engineering firm that I worked for years ago, and I found out, after working with him for several months, I found out from someone else he's actually held a third degree black belt in karate. And I had thought, you know, this poor little guy, he would have a really hard time, you know, if he got in trouble. And then I found out, no, he can take care of himself. So you know what? You might find that thing doesn't go the way you think it is. But even if you got away with it, if Deshaun and I were successful getting your shoes, Walter, we might find out that they're not the new LeBron James Nikes, and you could really only get, you know, $20, $30 out of them. And then by the time we split that, it was hardly worth the trouble. You know what? But even if we got away with that, everything went according to plan. What's the real problem at the end of the day, at the end of your life? At the end of your life, you're going to give account to God. And God sees everything. He sees what goes on around us. He sees what we know. He sees what we think no one knows. He sees what we're thinking. And God is the righteous judge. And so one day, even if you were totally successful in stealing things from people for years, one day you'll stand before God and give an account to Him. And it won't go so well. So my son, if they say this to you, don't set foot on their paths, for their feet rush into sin and they are swift to shed blood. How useless to spread a net in full view of all the birds. These men lie in wait for their own blood. They waylay only themselves. Such is the end of all who go after ill-gotten gain. It takes away the lives of those who get it. So here's the thing. Even if you are successful and you get the money, how are you going to spend that? Now Deshaun is walking around with a wallet full of money here at the ranch. He's got some cash. Deshaun, where'd you get the cash? You're going to have to be fearful. If you were successful, you'd be fearful. Did you know that? People who live that way, inflicting fear on others, live in constant fear themselves. Would you like to live in constant fear? It's no fun. Wisdom calls aloud in the street. She raises her voice. in the public squares. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. In the gateways of the city, she makes her speech. So now Solomon is using personification. He's making wisdom. He's talking about wisdom as a wise, beautiful woman. And she is calling out. So unlike me, I was talking to Deshaun in a quiet, secret voice. Wisdom is out there to be heard. And she's saying, how long will you love simple ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge? If you had responded to my rebuke, I would have poured out my heart to you and made my thoughts known to you. So she's saying, I told you that you were wrong. And if you would listen, I would tell you even more. But instead, you ignored my advice. I will laugh at your disaster and I will mock when calamity overtakes you. So wisdom is saying that there's a time for wisdom, but that time will pass. Take advantage of it. If someone corrects you, listen, because you may not have the opportunity. We think, oh, I'll do that later. You ever thought that? I'll fix that later. I'll get around to that later. There's going to be a day when that it's too late. And she talks about those who do not choose to fear the Lord. They'll eat the fruit of their ways and be filled with the fruit of their schemes. Have you all worked in the garden? How many times some of you have worked a lot in the garden? Let me ask you a series of simple questions. If you plant peas, what do you get? Peas. If you plant potatoes, what do you get? Potatoes. If you plant squash, what do you get? You guys are good. If you plant apples, what do you get? Excellent. Let me share with you what Paul says in Galatians. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whatever you're planting, that's what you'll pick. So if what you sow is violence and hatred and laziness, what are you going to pick? You'll pick the fruit of violence, hatred, and laziness. And it doesn't taste good when it's all grown up. So she says, they will eat the fruit of their ways and be filled with the fruit of their schemes. The waywardness of the simple will kill them. That is, they wander from the path. They've been shown this is the right way. Walk in it. But they wander off the path. And the complacency of fools will destroy them. Do y'all know what complacency is? It's laziness. They just don't get up. They don't want to work. They'd like to just sit and have everything done for them. The waywardness of the simple will kill them and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But there's good news. But whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. If you listen to wisdom, you'll find that you're safe and the way is easier and you're without fear. Jesus, speaking to his disciples, carries that theme. It's repeated in the scriptures. I encourage you to look at Psalm chapter 34 that talks about the fear of the Lord. It sounds a little bit strange to fear God. It says, fear God, and then you won't be afraid. Ponder that for a minute. If you fear God, you won't be afraid. But that's definitely what it says in Psalm 34. And it's definitely what the Lord Jesus says in Matthew chapter 10. And this is it's wonderfully clear as Jesus speaks. He says in Matthew 10, speaking of those who persecute Christians, he said, so have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But even the hairs of your head, are all numbered. Fear not, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven. When he's speaking to his disciples, he said, You're choosing, and you and I are choosing, you'll choose between two fears. We either fear God or we fear men. And what Jesus says is if you fear God, you don't have to fear anything else. He's the one who's in charge. He rules over all. So the beauty of that is that the fear of the Lord leads to fearlessness. So, you know, what can man do to me? If God is for us, who can be against us? So the Lord Jesus encourages that, and we would encourage it too. As Solomon has said, the fear of the Lord is not the end of knowledge, it's the beginning. We start by fearing God. But the beauty, the wonder of fearing the Lord is that if we learn to fear the Lord, we don't have to fear anything else. Is that good news? Would you like to be free from fear? We can be. It says, even the hairs of your head are numbered. God knows all the hairs on your head. For some of us, that's an ever-changing number. God knows all of them.